Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 9th day of May, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall. Let me start out today with a brief announcement because I've already received a number of emails wondering what's going on with Hebrew Nation Radio and the podcast site. Simple answer is that it's under maintenance. It's being updated, literally overhauled, and it'll be down for at least a week, maybe a bit longer. In the interim, the emails have asked, well, what's going to happen to the news show? Because over the years, your host has gotten the impression that more people probably download the podcast so they can listen to it on their own schedule, then manage to listen to it live. And of course, news that's a couple of weeks old isn't really news anymore. So what can we do in the interim? Well, to answer that, folks, I'll try to put up the daily news shows and perhaps other shows that I do as well here on Hebrew Nation Radio on my own website as I complete the podcast. That would be www.marknywot.com. And yeah, just so there's no doubt, Niwot is a little town in Colorado spelled November, India, Whiskey, Oscar, Tango, phonetically, and it's a place where I first started doing radio quite a few years ago, and then began using as a pen name and a website. Again, that's www.marknywot, MarkNiwot, all one word, .com. And for those of you that have never been there, this is the website that's dedicated to my long-term ministry entitled Come Out of Her, My People. Well, you know, I do a show by that name on the same network here. And the website has literally articles going back years, as well as a whole bunch of audio teachings, primarily Torah-related things. And some of those, of course, for the last several years have been posted here on Hebrew Nation Radio. But there are others that go further back than that as well. So I would encourage you to check it out, especially over the next few weeks, when, again, the daily news shows will be up there, along with probably most of the other shows that I do here on Hebrew Nation as well. Torah Teachers Roundtable, Drive Time Friday, and, of course, Come Out of Her, My People. And, of course, the Sabbath Day teachings will continue to be up there, as they always are. One last request, of course, in addition to the usual reminder that, hey, both Hebrew Nation Radio and yours truly continue to count on your prayers and gifts to keep us going, and especially during this time when the Hebrew Nation website is down, I would appreciate your letting everybody who's interested know about the alternative ways to listen to the news shows and other things that I do here on Hebrew Nation Radio. Again, that's via www.marknywot.com. So on next to today's news, finally, starting with a couple of updates. Let's call this first one the invasion update. I've got several stories along the same lines. From Breitbart, we've heard this before, we're going to keep hearing it, until Big Brother quits encouraging the invasion to continue. DHS catch and release figures over the last 6 days, for which there's a record, 7,400 or so. That's continuing to average about 1,200 a day. And remember, folks, those are just the ones that get caught and dispersed. Even NPR admits that April is now the second month in a row with over 100,000 invaders, 109,144 officially, and that's an increase of over 5%, or about 5,400, over the March record. But perhaps even more alarmingly, over 1% of the entire populations of both Guatemala and Honduras have entered the United States since last September, according to acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin K. McAleenan, who added that that figure includes 3% of one county in Guatemala alone. Speaking at the 49th Washington Conference on the Americas, McAleenan said that the current migration flows represent, quote, both a security and humanitarian crisis, noting that the situation is, and I'd say obviously, not sustainable. He continued by adding that the trends are deepening and accelerating, noting that according to a recent USAID-funded study earlier this year, one in four Guatemalans intend to emigrate from that country, with 85% of them planning on coming to the People's Republic of Norte Americana as their preferred destination. And that's over 4 million people, or you could think of it as about 5 San Franciscos. Yes, with the obvious implications intended. Here's where, in your host's opinion, the acting DHS secretary dropped the ball, explaining that the U.S. economy is a lure for illegal immigrants, and poor economic conditions at home are a push. He added that Washington shares the blame. Get this, quote, the main cause of the current increases is the weakness in the U.S. immigration system, the vulnerabilities of our legal framework, which allow migrants, especially families and unaccompanied children, even slave children, I note, or as we've talked about recently, rent a kiddie pass, to stay in the U.S. for months or years, even though the vast majority, said McAleenan, will not ultimately receive legal status. Here's what isn't being stated, folks, although it ought to be. The vast majority will, however, suck at the public teeth and get all kinds of wonderful freebies, which will bring more and more just like them, looking for the same goodies. And these are the kind of facts that those who prattle mindlessly about this nation's history of immigrants would just as soon you didn't know. People used to come here yearning to breathe free, to work hard and build a better life for their children. Yes, to learn the language and assimilate. In other words, to adopt the shared values that once upon a time were those things that made America, America, like the belief in God-given rights and free enterprise, as opposed to just free stuff. And no, they didn't get all kinds of freebies when they came in, legally or not, even though the vast majority did try to come in legally. Oh, and when they came through Ellis Island, they also were screened for diseases, unlike the masses of migrants coming north now, carrying, well, basically God alone knows what, but we're beginning to find out. And no doubt all of that will be a great excuse for forcing you to take an involuntary vaccination too, which is perhaps part of the bigger equation and plan anyway. Oh, and before we move on, one more quick quote, courtesy of the NPR story, ironically from the chief of Border Patrol, Carla Provost, who told a Senate Judiciary panel that, quote, our apprehension numbers are off the charts. And she continued, we cannot address this crisis by shifting more resources. It's like holding a bucket under a faucet. Doesn't matter how many buckets you give me if we can't turn off the flow, unquote. Maybe she should have said, refuse to turn off the flow. From there, on to a different sort of, sadly, continuing invasion, idiocy in the public cesspools, along with the gun-free killing zone murders that go with it. From Chris Menahan at Information Liberation, as well as the much-banned, maligned, and censored Alex Jones' sites like Prison Planet and InfoWars, and also a news site called Heavy.com, in the most recent gun-free killing zone attempted mass murder and massacre, it turns out that those who ignored the law, including notably Thou Shalt Not Murder, were far-left Trump-hating atheist progressives. Who could have thought it? And that, says Menahan, is why you can be certain that the latest school shooting in Colorado, after it served its false flag, let's ban all the guns now purposes, will be dropped by the media real quick. Now, folks, let me make this point clear up front. The fact that a couple of Bible-hating leftists tried to kill a bunch of people in Highlands Ranch, Colorado at the STEM school is anecdotal evidence and actually proves nothing, at least so far as their race, gender, ethnicity, or politics is concerned. But it certainly is educational to observe the media spin. Let's just say, for starters, I bet on a lot less MSNBC and CNN coverage of their Facebook postings. And as for what prescription drugs they're taking, for what mental conditions they may be dealing with, be it the mass murder-connected SSRI drugs or whatever, well, we've already gotten used to seeing nothing, nothing, nothing reported on that score. Because one thing's for sure, the mass media certainly doesn't have a prescription drug control agenda. Because guess who's paying their bills? From the stories, Devin Erickson, an 18-year-old high school student who's worked as a youth actor in Colorado, was identified by authorities as one of the two shooters accused of killing one and wounding eight students in a K-12 STEM school located in Douglas County. And in court for the first time on Wednesday, May 8th, the purple-haired Erickson bowed his head, facing more than two dozen charges, for the most part answering the judge's questions by shaking his head. The second shooter has now been identified as Alec McKinney, but is identified in court records as Maya McKinney. A Denver TV station reports that McKinney is transgender, transitioning to male, and prefers to be addressed by the pronoun he. On socialist media, Erickson, a registered Democrat, expressed hatred for Christians and shared posts criticizing Donald Trump and praising the sainted bathhouse Barry Obama. There were also pictures online of his car, as it was towed from the shooting suspect's home, sporting the words F Society spray-painted on one side with what looks like 666 and a pentagram on the hood. And in one of his at least temporarily going viral socialist media posts, Erickson wrote, quote, you know what I hate? All these Christians who hate gays, yet in the Bible it says in Deuteronomy 17:12-13, if someone doesn't do what their priest tells them to do, they're supposed to die. It has plenty of crazy stuff like that, but all they get out of it is, ew, gays, unquote. And again, folks, the main thing that all of this proves is that, Well, watch the actions of the waste stream and see what it is they're not going to leap all over as an indication. And one other trend that your host has been watching now for quite a while. The obvious false flags do tend to have a clearly political agenda associated with them. In hindsight, it's incredibly obvious. This one seems to be a bit different now, doesn't it? And if nothing else, I'm going to be looking for suggestions over time, probably not covered by the waste stream, of course, that all the false flags and manipulation of public opinion may finally be starting to have the desired effects, at least so far as the deep state is concerned, of kicking off the intended bloodletting in mass. And they'll get some traction among those looking to kill more and more people as Civil War 2.0 goes into high gear. This next one would almost be funny if it wasn't so hypocritically asinine and demonstrative of just how far down the toilet bowl the U.S. Congress has already swirled. Dateline Washington, AP. The House Judiciary, sick, committee voted on Wednesday to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress for reasons that they don't really think they have to explain. But the Associated Press called it an escalation of the Democrats' extraordinary legal battle with the Trump administration over access to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's unredacted Trump-Russia report. Note that they aren't the least upset about all the other things that the Justice Department stonewalled for year after year concerning stuff that didn't show up in the Mueller report anyway. And for the first time ever, they note, literally breaking with tradition from the all-powerful executive branch, President Donald Trump has now finally invoked the principle of executive privilege. Maybe he's had enough, blocking lawmakers, sick, from seeing what the law said, things like grand jury redactions that weren't supposed to be leaked anyway. Committee Chief Buffoon Jerry Nadler of New York made a whole bunch of idiotic declarations, including that the president is doing a blanket defiance of Congress's constitutional right to conduct oversight, saying that the so-called blockade is, quote, an attack on the ability of the American people to know what the executive branch is doing, unquote, and this cannot be. Well, folks, it has been, and ironically, it certainly has been under his watch for year after year after year now, because it's pretty darn obvious what's changed. Justice Department spokeswoman Carrie Kupek said it was disappointing that members of Congress have, quote, chosen to engage in such inappropriate political theatrics, unquote. At least that's a humorous understatement. She pointed out that Barr made extraordinary efforts to provide Congress and the public with information about Mueller's so-called work. Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said neither the White House nor Barr will, quote, comply with Chairman Nadler's unlawful and reckless demands. Adam Schiffless of California, true to form, threatened legal action. And if he actually paid attention to the law, that in itself would be a notable first. The AP does admit that while the White House, up until now, has exercised remarkable restraint, breaking with all previous administrations when it came to invoking executive privilege, Trump told his staff and political advisors over recent weeks to refuse to cooperate with the witch hunt now in the House, believing the Democrats' goal was simply to damage him politically going into his re-election campaign. Gee, do you think? And here I do have to interject, I think there's a bit of restraint on his part there as well. They're covering up for a whole lot of outright criminal activity to boot, from Comey, the lynch mob, and Hitlery, to Mueller. Other Democrats, demonstrating again their utter ignorance of the Constitution, referred to the need to protect our democracy, not to be confused, of course, with the Constitutional Republic. But when it comes to brainless rhetoric, folks, it's tough to top this one from Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, quote, the president now seeks to take a wrecking ball to the Constitution of the United States.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So, from the war on what's left of the Constitution, and they've been pretty effective with that wrecking ball for long enough that I'd have to say not much, we do go to an update on the other wars. And in no specific order, North Korea has launched their second ballistic missile in less than a week. South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff confirmed the North appears to have fired two short-range ballistic missiles as of 4:29 and 4:49 p.m. local time there, flying between about 150 and 300 miles. Says Zero Hedge, what with trade war tensions between Washington and Beijing at a breaking point, we can't help but wonder if Kim got the tap from his Chinese benefactors, who could benefit greatly from this particular latest distraction, as if there weren't a whole bunch of others out there on the table already. Further east, kind of Midland or so, Tehran tried to call Washington's bluff again on Wednesday when it threatened to start stockpiling enriched uranium and heavy water all over again. That would constitute a violation of the JCPOA's terms unless everybody abides by their commitments to buy their oil and offer other financial goodies, something that American sanctions have rendered impossible. But in what is said to be an attempt to show Tehran who's boss and that it's not bluffing, Washington has committed another threatening display of force by sending the USS Abraham Lincoln and its associated strike group, which had been dispatched to the Mediterranean last week, through the Suez Canal, the first stop in what appears to be a journey into Iranian waters. And perhaps even unchartered waters as well. Closer to home, at least when it comes to the botched war down in Venezuela, Trump says a piece summarized by Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge has turned on Bolton and accused him of, quote, trying to start a war in Venezuela. And here, of all things, they're quoting the WAPO. Shortly before President Trump, it begins, tweeted about a meeting with Marco Rubio and Rick Scott where the, quote, terrible abuses by Maduro were discussed. The WAPO published an anonymously sourced story claiming that Trump is growing frustrated with the situation in Venezuela, and he's blaming aides like Bolton for misleading him about the chances of success of opposition leader and president, not really, Juan Guaido. Privately, says the WAPO, Trump has described Maduro as a tough cookie, and he's blamed aides for misleading him when they said that the socialist strongman could be ousted during last week's demonstrations. Gee, makes you wonder what happened to words like revolution or coup. And over recent days, he's expressed instead concern that Bolton is trying to get him, quote, into a war. And perhaps the leaked plan for a U.S.-backed coup prepared by Southcom hasn't helped to assuage those concerns either. Remember, notes the summary from Zero Hedge, Bolton has been a key figure in escalating tensions with Iran as well, in what's starting to look like the brink of an armed conflict. And although the WAPO insists that Bolton's job is safe, well, at least for now, the fact that Trump has finally, at long last, caught on to the drawbacks of Bolton's neoconishness and now appears to understand that Bolton's views are at odds with the ones he has publicly expressed, especially when he was running for president, none of that bodes well for his prospects. And one more update from the war front. This one, the war against you and the right to own your own body, for crying out loud. Via forced vaccinations, piece by Rebecca Terrell at The New American asks, is it time for Big Brother to become your doctor? And I wonder if she means Dr. Mengele. Anti-vaxxer, it begins, an ugly word akin to genocidal Nazi or child-sacrificing Aztec. And if you are so labeled, you're obviously guilty as charged, prepared to slaughter children. Well, unless, of course, you're a Democrat running for high office, in which case, after they come out of the womb, that's just fine. But this is different. So, other types, anyway. Slaughter children and endanger society for a silly, outdated idea like personal liberty, in defiance of what they define as established science and basic, but not really, human rights. Obviously, human rights aren't what they once meant. Listen to this. New York Times opinion columnist Frank Bruni wrote, quote, this isn't just a public health crisis, it's a public sanity one. Well, so far so good, folks, except he's on the insane side, it would seem, because he continues in the wrong vein. The anti-vaccine crowd aren't trafficking in anything concrete, mundane, and quaint as facts. Full stop. What a lying sack of you-know-what. I guess in this context I'd have to say mercury, thimerosal, and who knows what else is in those things. But the answer is he doesn't want you to. And think about that for just a second more. The very idea that someone would post the contents of what's actually in some of these vaccinations and then be banned for it, this guy has the idiocy to speak out that way about. All right, well, we know the truth. Given that it's obvious he's not stupid, the only other conclusion is that he's downright lying evil. Back to the quote. They're not really engaged in a debate about medicine. They're immersed in a world of conspiracies, in the dark shadows where no data can be trusted. Nothing is what it seems, and those who buy the party line are pitiable sheep. Unquote. And can you actually believe the New York Times would publish unmitigated crap like that? Well, sadly, yes, we can, because we've been watching. And then author Terrell goes on to talk about recent measles outbreaks in the United States having ignited extreme reactions from Big Brother's officials. In January, Washington Governor Jay Inslee declared a public health emergency, citing 31 whole cases in two counties. And one of the facts you're not allowed to talk about, folks, is how many people who catch the measles have been vaccinated against it. Thankfully, given things like indoor toilets and running water, almost nobody ever dies from it anymore anyway. And as the now verboten to even talk about Brady Bunch comedy episode from the early 1970s pointed out, if you have to get sick, measles is sure the way to go. Rockland County, New York, banned unvaccinated children from the public cesspools for 30 days. And, of course, the communist mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, ordered mandatory vaccinations, Achtung, for certain primarily Orthodox Jewish areas of the city, like the community of Williamsburg in Brooklyn, slapping $1,000 fines on anybody who dares to refuse his tyrannical mandate. And when parents, who arguably know a real Nazi when they see one, filed a lawsuit against his edict, de Blasio rebuffed the parents' concerns and bragged, "We will beat them!" And yeah, you can take that two ways. Given de Blasio's predilections, I think both are probably appropriate. But the lies just keep on coming. Implying that victims are dropping like flies, continues the author, and that measles will soon decimate entire cities without extreme protective countermeasures, news outlets fail to mention that most cases are not severe. And that's an understatement. On the contrary, media opportunists feed the flames. The Bloomberg editorial board hopes that these outbreaks may, quote, finally be scaring sense into parents who believe that what they call the myths about vaccines, like they may cause seizures, autism, mercury poisoning, or death, and, in a fit of what she rightfully calls yellow journalism at its finest, a CBS affiliate in Texas even featured an alarming picture of a baby supposedly suffering from measles, when in fact the child was injured by the measles vaccine. CBS, quote, "decided to use my kid as the poster child for the measles outbreak," writes mom Dawn Newfield on her Facebook page. Oops, I'm sure she's now on the short list to ban. But the irony is that Will doesn't have the measles in this picture. This is the reaction he had to taking the so-called safe MMR shot, unquote. Nevertheless, the witch hunt is on. Writing for Fatherly magazine, Patrick Coleman calls for the arrest of, quote, anti-vaxxers spreading measles, claiming that there are laws und precedent to prosecute. And he points out that federal law allows forced quarantines of those with certain communicable diseases, full stop, whoa, irony, time out, unless, of course, they're illegally crossing the southern border, in which case idiots like this will buy them bus tickets. Anyway, he points out that 9 states allow fines and criminal persecution for spreading infectious disease, again, with that obvious exception. Certain European countries are already fining parents for refusing to have their children immunized. Are we starting to get sick of all this, folks? The lion really seems to know no bounds. And in true Mein Kampf style, they try to pin the blame on those they're lying to for having to do it. Most of the bulk of the piece we've already talked about here for a long, long time. From bogus statistics, things like herd immunity, and if they're really that safe and effective, you've had them, what are you worried about anyway? To side effects, to the CDC, and their occasional scientific fraud, to Big Brother provided manufacturer immunity, and all that goes with it. But the bottom line is interesting. What's behind this governmental fanatic obsession? Is it really about follow the money? Or is it simply that Big Brother truly does want to own your body and everything that goes with it? Well, folks, when it comes to power, your host, as you probably know, tends to lean towards the latter. Although, if they have that, they can get all the money they need or print it besides. But the one thing we know for absolute certain here is that there are plenty of conflicts of interest and thus lots and lots of reasons to lie. They keep getting bigger and bigger, and no doubt both Uncle Adolf and his buddy Dr. Joe would be proud. May Yahuwah bless you and yours.
Thank you.